be able to see God do that. And it is so wonderful being in his house. So good to see all of you here today. And I'm just so thankful for what God's doing. We had an awesome time yesterday, and we had a 9 to 12 Saturday Sunday school meeting training. That's not fun. That's not like what every one of you wanted to spend doing Saturday morning. But I'll tell you, we had around 17 people showed up, and God is really moving. I've seen what we're learning work. Years ago, Sunday school was kind of the center of all the ministry of the church, evangelism, reaching people for Jesus. And we've drifted toward teaching and fellowship, and they're all great things, but we're excited about some changes that are coming. And a lot of people don't like change. I probably in itself don't like change, but I realize from Scripture that what God calls us to do, the world's wanting to conform us, that means change. Amen? World wants to change us, but God wants to transform us. So what God wants to do is much harder than change. Amen? And I believe that's coming. I'm so excited about Aaron. I told Aaron this morning, God used him in a mighty way. I prayed the Spirit would move. And I told Aaron I loved him, but that was the Holy Spirit, because he couldn't have put everything together that we've been looking at. But I'm excited about what's going on. But what we've been challenged to do, and Aaron challenged us yesterday, and I bought in 100% because I haven't even seen it work before we started doing it, is this, that this week, and what a song, this week, what we're doing as leaders and teachers and those that gathered yesterday is we're laying before God this new plan for Sunday school. We've got the plan. We know how it works, and we know all about it, but we're laying it before God, and that's God put it together. As the song said, I love that, everything we give to you. That's what we're doing this week. And our plans, dreams, and we want to present ourselves. So here's, I'm at church time asking you to join us in that. Amen. Because this involves all of this. This isn't a leadership thing. It isn't a Sunday school teacher thing. It's a church thing. It's something to transform what our Sunday school does. And I mean, it will require transformation. Amen. And many of you don't come to Sunday school, and we're excited. You may even say, well, I went to Sunday school before. That's not my thing. Well, this is going to be your thing. Because I wanted you to do me a favor. If you would just like, there's somebody you know that's lost, and you'd like to be some part in leading them to Jesus, would you raise your hand real high up here? You'd like to be a part. Would you stand if you'd like to do that? If you'd just like to be a part of seeing somebody you know come to Jesus Christ. Dear God, I thank you. Lord, as we look around this morning and we realize, Lord, that's our heart's desire. Lord, to be able to come together and be able to see those, Lord, those that in our family and that we work with and our church are lost coming to know Jesus. Those people we've not even met that we'll meet this week that need Jesus. So, Lord, right now, we want to give you our hearts and our minds, give you our church. We want to give you Sunday school. Lord, even that you would take the time that we arrive here on Sunday morning in the parking lot. In everything we do, Lord, that you might pull it together, that you might take plans we believe you've given us in the coming weeks, Lord, that you might make it real. I pray right now for that one who just hadn't got involved in Sunday school or maybe has not been in a while, Lord, that you'll just move their spirit, that we need them, that you need them. And Lord, I pray that you prepare us for transformation, to realize, Lord, that there's some new things that you want to do in our lives and our Sunday school. And Lord, we're excited this morning. And most of all, right now, I want to pray for that person, maybe that of many, that one person that kind of drew somebody to stand. Lord, we're praying for right now. We love them. And help us, Lord, we want to reach them. And we want to teach them. And we want to minister to them, dear God. Oh, what an awesome opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So join us in prayer this week, and as weeks come, we'll get you involved and more information. Next Sunday, on Friday, I'm going to be traveling. My niece, my brother's daughter is getting married in the mountains, and we're going to travel and spend the weekend with family. And Brother John Green is going to be here with you, bringing the morning and evening message. So come out, and I know God's got a word through Brother John. He's still doing interrupt there over at Red Cross, and God's using him in a mighty way. But I just felt led to ask him and let him worry about finding somebody to fill in. Amen? Amen? But no, God's good. And tonight, hope you'll make plans or change plans. Be back here at 6 o'clock for evening service. Most of all, to worship God. But I tell you, Tim Carson, Brother Tim, it's funny. He'd asked me, we talked about him sharing his testimony. And that since then, Brother Tim's had a heart attack. And God has done some things and is doing some things. I just think that he wants us to worship that way. So pray for Brother Tim. But I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one in the pew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew 4 and verse 16. Matthew 4, 16. If you're physically able with you, would you stand? Before I read the scripture, I'll share with you. I was told one time there's a scripture that paints a picture of a message burning in your heart. And was told, never preach a message that's just burning in your heart. It's a lot easier to speak and preach and teach out of your mind. It's harder from the heart. But then there's sometimes when something weighs on your heart so heavy that it truly is difficult. So I ask you, pray that God will give you, will show you what he's burdened my heart with through his word this morning. That I can't do that, but I pray he will. Matthew chapter 4, one verse, verse 16. Well, let's do 16 and 17. Read with me. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Dear God, as we bow for a moment, I pray that everyone has got their eyes closed. Maybe for someone that for some reason has not, you'll give them a moment to close their eyes. Lord, I pray that you'll take the darkness that we experience in just a small way right now. You might begin to use that in some way to transfer that to the spiritual darkness that you talk about in this verse. The spiritual darkness you talk about in your word. The reality of darkness. And Lord, so that when we hear and understand about a great light, we'll truly understand how great it is. Lord, give us an understanding of the darkness today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The people that sat in darkness. It's kind of amazing that in the Bible, there were always scribes and Pharisees and religious people who had in their mind, because of the nationality, where you lived, your country of origin, who your family was, that you were automatically in darkness. They would judge, they would ridicule, they'd make fun of, they would persecute, they'd do all manner of evil to people they had established in their mind. They're in that darkness, they're in the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus would repeatedly go to these people and he would let them know that it was not the ones that they were looking at and the ones that they were saying and judging, but it was themselves. It was the very ones. Oftentimes the Jewish people would look at the Gentiles, and let me tell you who Gentiles are. Gentiles are anybody that's not Jewish. Amen? That's pretty cut and dry. And they'd say those Gentile peoples, and by the way, I'm a Gentile, you're a Gentile, unless you were born into the Jewish nation, and I don't think there's anybody here that is, you're a Gentile. They'd said, they're in darkness. And Jesus would continually say, you don't understand, but you're in darkness. in Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 10, it describes to you, and I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but you can look in that passage, and it talks about and makes the phrase that we're being dead in trespasses and sin. If you would, dead in the darkness. The Bible speaks of eternal darkness. Last Sunday, we looked in John chapter 3 a few verses, but in verse 19 of John chapter 3, the Bible paints this picture, if you would, or really from 19 through 21, of this idea of loving darkness. Let me read it to you again. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Leave Matthew 4 here and go with me to Matthew 8. It's not far over. Matthew 8 and verse 12. Matthew 8 and verse 12. As God has taken us last week to just thinking about the light and the darkness, as I study more this week, God brought me to this verse, very familiar verse really in the Bible, Matthew 8, verse 12. Look at it with me. This is Jesus speaking. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's read that again. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I had been studying that passage and studying some other passages, and it was time to hit the road again. I went out and I got in my Jeep, and as I sat there and I was leaving home, I was riding up the road, I was having trouble wrapping my mind around those words. Amen? I began to think about this weeping. I began to think about this gnashing of teeth. I began to think about this darkness. I was having trouble understanding it. I know it's true. It's clear in the Bible. I understand the doctrines of hell. I understand the reality of hell. I understand what how the world minimizes hell. And even in the preaching of many preachers and of churches today, it's minimized. It's not talked about. I understand all of that. I understand all that. But that the word darkness. And if I could do anything, maybe that you underline those words or write them in your note, darkness, outer darkness, and then weeping and gnashing of teeth. And my mind even came to God, how can that even be possible? How can it be impossible that such a thing could happen? God, how can that be? Later on in the week, God took me in my mind. I started thinking about weeping. I started to think about, Did I understand weeping? God, show me, help me. Where have I experienced? Where have I been around someone that's weeping? When have I had a time of weeping? God, help me understand. I can study the original word in the original language. I can read commentators about weeping. I can give the church a definition. But God, help, what weeping? This darkness and this weeping. I began to think. I was not a pastor. I've been walking a little closer to God, and God will give you a heart to care for others. That's what our training was yesterday, about caring for others. Now, mind you, it wasn't about evangelism yesterday, about caring for others. God will give you this desire, this just want to care for others. And I was working in Charlotte, and I never will forget that someone in Sandra's family, one of the cousins, had a precious child and been born and had heart trouble since birth. Amen. And I remember that I was at work and they were going to have surgery, and I was flexible enough that I was able to make my way over there recount one of my first experiences of being in a waiting room. And now, years past, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of you and a lot of hours in hospital surgery waiting rooms, and we're in the waiting room. we were there and they were doing surgery, and the child, I can't remember, just still just very, very young, and heart surgery and just one of many things. And I'll never forget that things began to be different. Things just didn't. A nurse came out to give an update. Maybe you've had that call. You know what I'm talking about, been there, and they call out Randy and say that, you know, surgery's doing. When the nurse came out, Tracy, she came out and she was explaining things. They gave another update, and then all of a sudden they came and they said, we need to move y'all. We need to move y'all somewhere else. I've never had this happen again. Never had it happen since this. Wasn't even in ministry then. And then they said, we want to move y'all. And when they took us to another room across the hall that you wouldn't even know existed. You didn't even know existed. And went in there. And then it was like a TV. It was like a movie. It was like a TV show. And these two doctors came in and they sat down beside the mom and dad. And they said, we did all that we could. But he's died. There's a weeping. A mom weeping. A dad, big, Marine, tall dad, weeping. I realize as I ask God that often that my understanding of weeping was in the context of death. Amen. I was really having trouble. As serious as you were injured, and they're putting you on the breathing machine, and I'm bringing your wife to see you. That was a lot of weeping, and it was. You're tracking with me. I challenge you to think about this week, darkness and weeping and this national. Let God speak to your heart. But I began to think lots of times in death, sudden death, terrible death, just weeping, just being around. Can you think of a time that you were weeping around someone? And I still was just trying to wrap my hands around. But what this weeping, Jesus, this weeping that you're talking about is a weeping like none that I've ever heard or understood, Chris. We've never heard. No one's ever heard weeping like this. And nobody's ever experienced darkness like this. Gnashing of teeth. God, what's that mean? Literally, the gnashing of teeth comes from this picture. If you're standing near the Garden of Gethsemane, and you're looking over into where Jerusalem is now, you can see the big dome, gold building is the Dome of the Rock. It's the Muslim temple, and it's right there where they believe the original temple was built. But if you're looking at Israel from that viewpoint, all things that Jesus could view, to the left side of Jerusalem, out the gate years ago, out the gate, it was the dump. It was the city dump. They didn't haul it somewhere up here and then take and haul it somewhere else. And they dumped it out the gate of the city. It'd be like if you're leaving the city limits of Marshville and you're maybe headed out to the left, let's say left from going out to Anson County, that right when you got outside that there was a big wall there and a big gate and all the garbage of everybody in Marshville was dumped out there. That was the picture. They dumped everything out there. All the garbage was dumped out there. And it was just out there rotting and stinking. And they didn't bury it and they didn't do anything with it. It was just a terrible place right outside the city gates, the holy city of Jerusalem in the Bible. And what would it draw? It would draw dogs. There'd be all these wild dogs out in that dump area just outside the gate. The temple is within the gates. Jesus walked there, but these dogs were out there. I would think for me, that's a place that I wouldn't want to go. I'm going to have Hilton or Brooke or Davey go carry the garbage and dump it out if we're living then, amen? I don't want to go down there. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to see it. Last of all, I don't want to hear the sound that Jesus is talking about, and that's the dogs. And you're talking about, you know, your scraps and your waste, and it's rotting and it's putrefying. I'm just telling you what the reality of this is. And the dogs are there, the wild dogs, skin and bones, are fighting over every morsel, and they're gnashing their teeth at one another. That is what Jesus is talking about. And I've never seen anything like that, amen? Never experienced anything like that. And listen, if you've said, I've seen dogs gnashing their teeth, I want to tell you that the burden of my heart this morning is you have never, in the most extreme movie, TV, imagine in a book, in anything you've experienced, you have never, never, Even what Jesus is describing, so they would understand about dogs, you have never, ever experienced this. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. So as you turn to Matthew 25, as we get there, I want us to look at verse 30. Verse 30, Jesus is speaking again. And he says, "And cast you the unprofitable servant." And it's amazing how they felt like they were in a kingdom. They felt like they were servants, but Jesus is describing, but you're an unprofitable servant, as he describes in the preceding verse. He says, "Into outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So if I pray to God, if you don't get anything else out of coming to church today, anything out of this message, any scripture in your life, three words this morning. Three words that three words that have consumed me since early in the week. Last night, I had taken some time with helping some guys that came over, and I was watching TV with them, and, you know, having a good time and eating snacks and watching TV. And it's my family. I can go to sleep most any time. I can go to sleep riding down the road. I can go to sleep. I like to go hard. I like to work hard. I like to play hard. I like to do everything hard, and then I can go. I laid in bed last night, and all I could do was think about darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Amen? And oftentimes, you know, you'll wake up in the morning thinking about different things, but I'll promise you that I was consumed this morning with those three words. And my prayer is, I believe that if nothing else, what we'll look at this morning, that I believe there's a problem in that we have been so conformed to this world, and we're so busy about all that we're busy about, and we're so focused on all that we're focused on. I mean, whether it's your work, whether it's your family, whether it's your problems, whether it's politics, whatever it is, we have missed three very important words, and those words Jesus hears repeating again, and their darkness, outer darkness, he says, they're weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we have never, no one, unless a person in hell apart from God knows what this is. And I believe if we would begin to simply read it and to think about it, I believe that if it doesn't burden our hearts, it doesn't change how we do everything, that there's a problem. Amen? Darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Look at me in verse 31. There, Matthew 25. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of glory. And that before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from another as sheep, a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, the goats. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, it did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I had studied and prepared most all of this message for yesterday morning. How amazing. What I am talking to you about Sunday school is literally, I'm not kidding you. I've been through the training myself. Understand it all. Connect no dots until I'm sitting there yesterday and realizing what God is doing is that it's a way to have an opportunity to determine and go ahead and decide in this story I read you, you're going to be a sheep or a goat. You go enter into glory and eternal blessing or eternal punishment. Look with me, because I think what we're missing, to be honest with you, and obviously I do more preparing to preach and more preaching than I do listening to preaching, but I can't remember the last time that I've been anywhere where hell seems to be much of a subject. Amen? Much of a subject. But in verse, I believe it's 41, help check me, verse 41, it mentions that word, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. So I give you a fourth thing for this week. Darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and everlasting fire. Do you realize that Jesus himself is teaching us a supernatural thing that no one has experienced outside of hell? And that is the presence of complete and utter darkness and everlasting fire burning. Because we know fire today gives light. So understand this morning what Jesus is teaching us is that there is a darkness, there is a weeping, there is a gnashing of teeth, there is an everlasting fire that we know nothing of. Now, when Jesus was talking there, and when we're looking in the passage earlier about seeing the great light, and the great light of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that in the spiritual darkness today, when people walk in spiritual darkness, the reason they don't see it and understand how terrible it is to walk apart from Jesus Christ is because we're living under grace. We're in the age of grace. It's the church age that we live in. And Jesus Christ, light of grace, is lighting spiritually everywhere. If you withdraw that spiritual light, what this is a picture of, y'all, this is what just brings me to tears and brings my heart, has burdened my heart so much. What Jesus is describing, that there's coming a day in time when spiritual darkness that many people that we know and love are walking in, when spiritual darkness will be changed and will come for those people, as Jesus says, will become not just a spiritual darkness, but a physical darkness. I've stood right here before in sermons probably several times because I had seen it done myself, and I've said I wish that I could open up a door into hell here this morning and you could come and you could look inside of hell and you could see what hell is like, that it might draw us to our knees and send us out to share the good news of Jesus Christ before it's late. And realizing in my own study this week that if I had that door to open, there's absolutely nothing that you could see. You could see nothing. There'd be nothing. You could see no one. You could see nothing. It'd be total darkness. But you could hear. You could hear weeping. Weeping. You could hear gnashing of teeth. And you could feel everlasting, the heat of everlasting fire. That's why we have church. Amen? We have church. Jesus came because sin, my sin, your sin, separate us from God. And God is holy. And God is perfect. And sin can't be in God's presence. And I read to you in that passage, who was hell created for? It was created for Satan and his angels. Amen? Isn't that amazing? So when people say, how could a loving God do that? God did not create it. He created it for Satan and his angels. But what happens is the judgment of our sin, apart from the applied judgment upon Jesus Christ, will cause. I don't know, but I wondered this week, do they weep a while? Till they weep, till they're so tired of weeping, they begin to gnash their teeth? I don't know. Do they gnash their teeth so long that they can't do that anymore and they just start weeping? Does it not make so much that we thought was so important this week seem so unimportant? Everlasting. Everlasting. Forever. How can we get so heavenly minded and so and just how can we so easily forget what the Bible says? I can't understand that fully. Amen? You can't fully understand that because it's things that we know nothing about. And because of Jesus Christ, you'll never have to know about darkness. Would you just go with me for just a moment? I mean, would you close your eyes for just a moment? And if you're like me, as I'm closing my eyes, you can still sense some light. And just please, and ladies, we won't lift your hair, but could you just cover, take your hands and kind of cover your eyes? You know, make it a little darker. Just a little darker. Forever. Forever. Temperatures, I know it doesn't agree with everyone here this morning, but it's nice. Fire. Some weeping. I wonder if the volume changes. Weeping forever. Ever. With your eyes still closed, listen, I'm on this right side, my right side, the piano side. I beg you, if there's any chance if you died today, heart attack, wreck, and that can't happen to you, would you just head toward the altar right now? Right now. This next section over. Anybody, any chance at all, any chance at all that could be you, did you just go to the altar? If you can't kneel, just sit down there. I'm making my way to the next section here. Church, you're praying. Anybody, any chance. darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, everlasting, any chance. I'm on the other side here. Anybody, any chance that could be you. Heart attack, wreck here at the crossroads, headed home. Any chance. Anybody. Anybody. Would you open your eyes for a moment? That's wonderful if it's true. But I think therein lies the problem. What we're testifying to today, I really believe, I'm going to include myself. We know Jesus. We'll never experience the darkness. We'll never experience the weeping. We'll never experience the gnashing of teeth or the everlasting fire. Never. So I can close in prayer. We can come pray for a few needs. Came back with a piano. Jessica will come up. And we can go about to life as normal. I'll ask you another question. Don't raise your hand this week. How much time have you ever spent thinking about that? I think as much as I think about it, God caught me in a new way this week with it. And I don't want him to let go. I find myself when it's, you know, time to do something different last few days, it's all I can think about. Yeah, I think that's a problem. I think our problem is, I think that what Jesus was trying to teach us, if we'll understand that and think about that, then that will drive everything that we do. I'm telling y'all, I have a hard time in my heart, and I know it's only because of Jesus, thinking of anybody that I want to experience that. Older person or younger person, don't be casually getting mad at somebody and telling them to go to hell. Amen? Shows, movies about devil and hell. Don't. I'm just begging you. Four words from Jesus. Darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and everlasting fire. Some prayer time, some thought time. I'm praying God will help me as I'm in Walmart or I'm riding down the road looking at people, cars, and my prayer list. May you co-workers. That's just the word of Jesus. Amen. Try to think about that, those words. I'm thankful. I'm afraid there's still somebody here that you just pride or fear kept you from coming, and don't, please don't leave. Don't leave this building feeling that way. But it's absolutely wonderful in a crowd this big if everybody knows Jesus. But if we really believed and understood what hell is, why was there no one here? Why was there no one here? The older I get, the more questions I have. I find myself doing that in a lot of settings. Everybody seems to know why something happened or didn't happen or what's going on. And I find myself going, I don't really understand what really happened. But I know one thing. Jesus Christ told us in verse 30 in Matthew 25, "And cast ye unprofitable servant to outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And he said at the end of that chapter, in verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life eternal." Would you pray with me? The invitation is still open for salvation. But I think this invitation is this. That maybe we can pray that the person you stood for earlier is the person you'll stand with here next Sunday. Maybe God, maybe you've got such a heavy burden and a problem that you can't even, this is burdening you down. I'm telling you, Jesus can meet your need physically, emotionally, financially, mentally. He can meet that need and meet this one too. But may you come to the altar and you need help, God, to touch a spot so you can get involved in what's important. Maybe he wants you to be part of this church family. Whatever the need is during this time, would you come? But I once again challenge you, maybe would you come pray that the person you stood thinking about you'd like to see know Jesus and not go to hell, that they'd be standing with you here next Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Jessica.
Page 482, Jesus is calling.